Why do I do things that would strike you as horrible? Do I strike you as that kind of person?
No.
Am I a horrible person?
No.
Are you saying that directly into the mic so everybody thinks I'm a good person?
Yes.
Here's your 20.
So if
you fuck your sister...
Fork.
I'm picking up what you're putting down.
If you fuck your sister, you don't get a fork.
I'm on fire, and now I think I'm ready to bust a move. Check it out, I'm rocking steady.
And there went the moment of silence. Let's pick it up from there. Hey!
Well, Ethan, this is a...
Ethan got his he got his one chance. I said, Ethan, I want you to prove to me why you belong on this show. Just do a moment of silence. Let's get it right. And he starts giggling immediately. Welcome to Falling Down School. Standing up school. Fuck it. I fail too. Hey, welcome, Podzilla fans. It's Sunday, and we decided to do a... classic episode of Sunday Random Sunday. Why? For no reason at all. Because I saw Jesse Kimball and the Nerd Up crew in here recording literally an hour ago, and they did their show, and it made me want to do a show. So I grabbed the two closest people I could find, which happened to be Allie.
Hi.
And Ethan.
Hello.
You know, that's really a negative way to put that.
You say negative, I think honest. You know?
So, I should just leave?
I mean... It's a woman's prerogative to do what she wants. I can't tell you what to do. I can't make the horse drink. I can lead you to the river, and then you can swim if you want, but I'm not going to give you a lifeboat, so if you can't cross it, you're going to have to use your own money for the ferry. You get what I'm trying to say?
I have no response.
Do you understand
that.
The words that are coming out of my mouth?
I do not understand the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Ethan, how are you doing tonight?
Better.
And there goes Allie. Allie is now spitting out drink.
I'm just thinking, better from what? Like, how were you before?
So yes, it is Sunday Random Sunday. We haven't done one of these in months. Ever since Nerd Up started recording on Sundays and doing their show on Monday, we haven't done one of these. And this used to be our most popular show. Everyone loved the Sunday show. We didn't have a specific topic. The big problem is that Tanner's show became very much like Sunday. The Tuesday show we do with Asa became very much like Sunday's show. It's usually random, but lately we've been going back to the basics of each show having its own theme. Last Tuesday, Asa and I and Allie talked about Batman v Superman. On Thursday, I think we talked about the edutainment shows, if I remember correctly. Lindsay brought that one in there. So tonight we're taking it back to the old school. We're going to talk about a bunch of random things. I got a list of topics that I want to talk about. Now, I want you guys to remember, as you hear this, that we have not gone over anything.
This is
off the cuff.
This is unscripted.
Yeah, this
completely
is improv.
Random.
Basically. I've got a couple subjects we're going to talk about, and we'll see how it goes if Allie doesn't walk out on the show first.
I'll stick around.
Because finally we get to do a show that you're actually going to get to talk on.
I know. Asa and you are going to just talk over everyone.
That's the big problem with doing a show. Anytime you have me or Asa or Jesse or Dalton to an extent, there's a real problem with trying to speak because we are all so loud and we're all so talkative.
Sometimes it's even just you.
Well, yeah, I'm the host.
Mainly when you guys all talk, I don't want to interrupt you because... You're saying such good words.
We do. I word very well. My words are huge. Very huge.
Yep.
Huger.
The
hugest.
So, all right. Topics. What are the topics?
If you're listening to this, Nerd Up is posted tomorrow, but they did talk a little bit about what I want to talk about first, but we're going to talk about it anyway. So Cape Comic Con was this weekend. And here in lovely downtown Cape Girardeau, it was, what'd you call it? Uptown? West Town? East Town?
Yeah.
Yeah. All of
one of those.
Yeah.
It was,
it's yes. One of those directions.
Yes.
If you look on a map and you go one direction of the 8, it was in one of those.
Yes.
Yes.
Indeed.
That makes sense?
Correct.
Following you completely.
Good. So, Comic-Con was Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I got to go on Saturday, and I got to go on Sunday. Ethan, you went Friday and today.
Yep.
And Allie, you went today.
Yes.
Let's start with you, Allie, just really quick, because this was your first con.
Yes.
Like, at all. You've never been to an anime convention. You've never been to a comic convention.
Correct.
So how did you feel about it? What were your impressions?
It was like the craft fair, but with consistently nerdy things.
That's accurate.
Yeah.
You didn't get to see a lot of the outfits, too. Like, Saturday, Lindsay and I went, and it was just packed to the gills with people dressed up in outfits and things.
Yeah, for cons, that would have made it a little different than craft fairs.
For cons, Saturdays are usually the
day.
Craft fairs, everyone should just make their outfits, like, knit everything fairs that way.
You're trying to tell me that at a craft fair, like, if I'm going to go look at quilts, the odds of me running into Deadpool are very slim?
Pretty slim, yeah.
Well, who would want to go to a craft fair then?
I mean, you could go
to that goddamn quilt show that happens in Paducah every year?
I think I went to that once with my grandma.
Like, apparently that's like the biggest thing in Paducah, Kentucky.
Because
OMGCon used to be over there. They don't do it anymore. But I'm pretty sure that quilt convention is still going on. And I always thought, how is a quilt convention so damn important?
Have you ever talked to a quilter?
No.
No,
Ethan.
I mean, I know people who do knit.
I own a quilt. I sleep under it sometimes.
Sometimes, if it's worthy that day.
I mean, sometimes it gets really warm in my apartment.
That's true.
Well, but you sound, like, qualified
to talk about
quilts. Yes, you do. Quiltified, if you will.
Quiltified.
I've been to OMGCon in Paducah many, many years. It used to be run by the guy that worked at GameStop. I haven't gone since they moved to a different city. I don't even know what city it is. And Comic-Con, I actually went to the very first one here at Cape when it was in the old Stephen Barry's building in the mall, because I used to work at Stephen Barry's. That was like my first official job that was on the books. And it was very small. There was like 8 tables set up with vending stuff, and that was about it. It was basically just a swap meet for nerds. But this year, because I haven't really been back since, I think we did go a couple years ago, me and Lindsay, and just kind of looked around. But this year, it was so much bigger than it has been in any of the past years. And it was actually pretty impressive. I thought it was very good for, especially for Cape Girardeau.
For Cape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it was really cool. It
for
was really
that's
packed.
In the Osage Center.
So you liked it?
Yeah.
And you had fun. You wish you dressed up, though.
If we would have planned better, we could have.
Don't look at me, Ethan. I don't plan things. I just do. I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I got it.
You just want it. You gotta have
that
car.
You get that reference, Allie?
No, you mentioned a dog, and I just thought of the 21 Pilot lyrics. Fear inspires me like a dog inspires a rabbit.
It was from Dark Knight. It was the Joker. I'm kind of disappointed you didn't know that.
I'm
Ethan,
sorry.
What did you think of the convention?
I thought it was all right. You know, I think it was definitely better than last year's.
Yeah.
Last year's was just kind of, for me personally, it was just kind of ho-hum, whatever. I bought, did I buy anything at least last year?
We bought a couple things this year. I got a nice Godzilla. It was $25, which is probably overpriced, but I like Godzilla. I got a little mini Punisher figure. And then we got a 4 set of prints from, and I'd have to look it up, but
yeah.
It's like 8-Bit-tainment or something like that.
Yeah, something
was the
like
guy.
That.
But it was really nice. You know, I wanted to get Allie something for her first convention that she could take home with her and keep as a memory. You know, I thought that was good because you don't want to just buy toys.
Yeah.
You can buy toys anywhere.
You want to buy like, you want to buy like prints, and you can get some really good prints.
Now here's what,
at least at the Osage Center Comic Con.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what
you,
I was going to
say. One thing I do regret is that the sword vendor had a gunblade, like a real gunblade.
Seen that, and it was neat.
It was neat. I have a wooden gunblade. It hangs over the door, the entrance to my apartment. And, you know, I'm a big Final Fantasy VIII fan. Squall's my favorite hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy was like $75. I thought $75 for a Final Fantasy VIII gunblade, that's a great deal. But I was with Tanner and Lindsay and his wife Brandy, and we were still looking around, so I just forgot about it. And then I went in there today with the express intent to buy it and gone. Sold it yesterday.
About it, how important was it to you?
I mean, I forget about a lot of things that are important. I forget my keys. I forgot.
You forget my name?
I forget about my family sometimes.
How dare you?
I forget to lock things. I forget to unlock things. Sometimes I forget to put pants on. It gets real awkward when you go, like, hang out at a kid's playground.
Yep.
Well,
that's a thing. You
anyway,
said.
So yeah, I was supposed to have Ken Murphy on the show to talk about Comic-Con, but we never got it worked out. He's busy. I'm busy. And we never sat down to talk about it. But I wish Ken nothing but the best. It was a good experience. I met Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob Orton, which to you means nothing.
Correct.
And to you means nothing. Although you are on Pro Wrestling Unscripted, so these are names you should know. Terry Funk and Bob Orton are wrestling legends.
I'm the newbie.
You are, and we're learning you things.
Yes.
When I said that I met Cowboy Bob Orton, the first thing she thought was?
Randy Orton.
It's his father, of course. And they were both super nice. Really nice guys. I shook both their hands, talked about it. And we'll talk more about this on Pro Wrestling Unscripted on, when do we do that show? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
On Wednesday. But I think it was Terry Funk I mentioned to him because I was kind of starstruck. But I think Tanner took it the wrong way because Tanner thought that I just didn't, I couldn't talk to the guy. Like, oh my God, it's Terry Funk. I don't know what to say. Reality, I didn't know what to say, but it's because I don't know what to say to a 71-year-old wrestler. When Xavier Woods came in and we were hanging out with him, the dude's like my age, and he loves video games.
Yeah.
So you have the pros of at least common interests.
Yeah, we could easily talk about, we talked about Sailor Moon.
Mm-hmm.
If ever you would think you're going to wake up and that day you're going to talk to a WWE superstar Xavier Wood about Sailor Moon, that is a good day, and you should remember that day. But with Terry Funk, I'm not going to ask him about Sailor Moon.
No.
He's going to call me a queer.
And you're going to accept it.
I'm going to accept it because he'll pile drive me otherwise. But I did. I shook his hand. I said I was starstruck because I didn't know what to say. And I didn't want to just stand there awkwardly because one of those things I hate about conventions when they have guests or just conventions in general is you walk by and you look at everybody. You look and you stare. It's like they're in a zoo. And you're just like, oh, look at the craftspeople. I'm not going to buy anything, but look at everything. And I feel bad for them. And I felt bad for Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob. So I said I was starstruck, and he said it made an old man feel good, which was good. Okay, you know, he got a rub from me. It's a wrestling term. And then I mentioned that we do a podcast for wrestling. I said, yeah, we do this show. It's called Pro Wrestling Scripted. It's on Podzilla 1985. And he was like, oh, yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah. Oh, I know that one. And I thought, I know you're lying. Because you want me to buy a t-shirt, which I'm not going to, by the way. But I'm going to run with that and make that the new slogan. Podzilla, Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Terry Funk heard of us, maybe.
Heard of us, maybe.
2016.
2016, that's the new slogan. But it was good. His manager was there. And if you've ever seen a celebrity at these events, you don't talk to the celebrity until you get past the manager first. Because he's there to make sure you don't get anything for free. So I wanted to take a picture with Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob. But
it's going to cost you.
It's going to cost me.
It's going to cost you.
And then there was another guy sitting next to them in a mask. And I have no idea who this guy was. And I felt bad because nobody stopped to talk to him. Everybody talked to Terry Funk and Cowboy Bob Orton. No one talked to the guy in the mask. I still don't know who he is. Fans, if you know who the man in the mask was at Cape Comic Con, email me at shannondoesn'tknoweverything@hotmail.org. That's our new website.
I thought the joke was done. Like, we actually wanted to do...
No, we're bringing it back.
All right.
It's like we're bringing this back here.
All right.
I can't really think of anything else about Comic-Con that was so cool. Jesse, obviously from Nerd Up, helped host a Smash Brothers tournament. That was pretty cool.
For two days.
Well, he participated in the second day.
Yeah. True. And Pat helped run today. But that was cool. And it was just a good time. It was a really good time. Cape needs more things like this. Mm-hmm. We've got this whole... I know this podcast is heard globally. It really is. We have listeners in France. We have listeners in Russia. Japan listens to us. Thank you, you guys out in Japan.
Yeah. Thank you, everyone.
But we're a local podcast. We are very much in the heart of Cape Girardeau, and it's very important to us. And Cape Girardeau is going through a lot of changes soon. We got this new deal for a hotel coming in here on Broadway. The casino's over here now. I mean, Cape is looking like it's on the up and up. And if we can just stop all those damn murders.
Yeah, did you see that thing today that said 15 shootings in the past 9 months
in
Cape Girardeau?
Yeah.
Which is absolutely terrifying.
And most of them happen, if not in this area, down the street near the bridge. Like, it's all concentrated in this one place. And it is the one place you generally don't see the cops driving around. The cops instead want to pull me over because my blinker wasn't, my taillight didn't work properly. Thank you, officer. I mean, he's right. It didn't work properly, but am I wrong?
You're saying that there's a greater evil here.
There's a greater evil that they could probably be working on. But, you know, I talked to Ali, you know JR, and yeah. I know JR. And, you know, he's right when he says that if people don't want to talk about it and help the police find it, there's only so much they can do. So, you know, that's a whole other can of worms that we could get into. But that does bring me into something I did want to talk about. Now that we moved past the Comic-Con, everybody had a good time. Unless, Ethan, you have any particularly funny stories you want to speak of.
Not specifically of the Cape Comic-Cons, but I did go to a convention way back when I was in junior high. It was, I forget the name of the con, but it was my first con that I actually went with a group of girls for 3 days. And I was completely away from family. And it was a really just interesting experience.
Because, away from family.
Yeah, just being away from family, being in a different part of St. Louis that I've never really been before.
Was it East St. Louis? No, because you're still alive.
Shoot, I really forget because it's been...
It wasn't East St. Louis, that's the joke.
It wasn't.
Okay.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay. Yeah. But, I remember I went as L from Death Note because it's easy to do and people like it.
Okay, well, let me ask you a question. Who did you go as on Friday to the Cape Con?
L, because it was easy to do and people like it.
And was there a name in your Death Note?
Plenty, actually.
Was there one? Was there one you knew from this show?
Okay.
Maybe sitting at the head. And how did that particular
person
die?
This bit is going on forever. This bit is going on forever.
Did it involve a corncob dildo?
I wasn't going to say that part, but all right. Yes. You actually written in your name.
Yes. And that I died by corncob dildo.
By Allie's hand.
Yes.
I believe. Yeah, you wrote that. That was the thing
because
that happened.
If you're going to die...
That's you how know, you want to do it.
That's how I always wanted to go out, was by corncob dildo.
You literally learned about that the day you wrote it in the book.
That's not true. No, that was actually a memory.
That was a memory?
From Facebook that I posted years ago to Matt Sin and Jack McNeil about a corncob dildo we found. Wait, no. That sounds bad. We didn't find the dildo. We found a listing for the dildo on the internet. Like, I didn't buy the dildo, nor was it given to me.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe you can purchase one at the Museum of Sex.
There was a that you didn't go into, by the
way.
No, I'm very disappointed
not.
In you.
Poor Allie. I'm not disappointed in you.
There was a manga years ago, and I think this is where we got the idea from, and that's why I posted it to them. There was a manga, and Lindsay knows what I'm talking about. I think Bob and Matt probably know what I'm talking about. Todd Seaball, if he's listening, knows what I'm talking about. And John Atwood, maybe. But there was a manga. It was like a – what do you call gay men manga?
Oh my God, Lindsay's gonna kill me.
I know,
I
Yuri.
Forget. I'm gonna search the.
Is it Yuri?
Yaoi. That's Yaoi. It. Yaoi. That's it. Yeah. Yeah, I remember that because going back to like my con story in St. Louis, I actually had to be a part of one of those panels.
A Yaoi panel?
Yeah, that's what all three of the girls planned on doing was a Yaoi panel.
Wait, all right. If a white straight man like me isn't allowed to talk about women's issues, according to some people on the internet, then three girls should not be allowed to talk about Yaoi.
I mean, it's what they liked, and
well,
so,
of course, it's what they like. It's two dudes banging each other. Anyway, there was a manga, and I don't remember the name of it, but the cover of it was just like three or four guys riding a giant corn cob, and it was all about gay sex. I think I still have the picture somewhere.
Interesting.
We'll post it on Facebook.
All right.
And I'll tag everyone. So that other story I wanted to talk about that what? Doesn't involve corncob dildos.
What other story?
Well, I had this nice segue of going from talking about the police into the story. We've now ruined that segue, but let's move on anyway. If you want to hear more about Cape Comic-Con, tune in tomorrow to Nerd Up with Jesse Kimball. He had, almost said Krista. He had Mandy, Dalton, and Asa on the show, and they talked about the con more. So definitely listen to that. Allie's giving me that. I can't believe you just said that. You'll understand why tomorrow when you listen to Nerd Up. Anyway, back to what I want to talk about. Ethan, do you know where I'm from? My name is Shannon Young. Do you know where I'm from?
I know the answer.
No.
Allie, illuminate him.
Mound City.
Yes, I'm from Mound City, Illinois. For our Mound City listeners out there, hello. I found a story on KFES 12 today about Mound City. I did not know this. I don't want to read this to you guys real quick. I don't know who actually posted the story because they don't really say on here. But police officers from a small town in Pulaski County, Illinois, walked off the job following a dispute with city officials. Four of five Mound City police officers quit Friday after part-time police chief Terry Riddle, 53, was asked to resign. According to Riddle, he was asked to resign by the Mound City mayor, Jim Warden, after he declined to take on the position full-time. Riddle said he was offered $13 an hour with no benefits to work full-time, which he could not accept. He goes on to state that he also works as police chief in Mounds, Illinois, which is like right next to Mound City. Officers left because the Mound City police chief position has historically been part-time and thought the decision to be unfair, said sources. They're going to have a town meeting in Mound City at 7 o'clock on Tuesday to discuss the future of the department. Here's why this is terrifying. There are no police in Mound City right now.
Really?
Which is terrifying on its own. Mound City is not a big city. It's very small. But there's plenty of crime in Mound City. Trust me, I can attest to that. So can Tanner. And that's scary that there's no police over there. What really shocks me, though, is that apparently we had five police officers.
And all of them just...
Yeah.
Gone.
Like, I lived in Mound City most of my life, and I can tell you for a fact, I never saw more than one police officer at a time anywhere. So I don't know when it changed that we had five cops over there, but that certainly seems odd. And to ask a guy to work full-time with no benefits for $13 an hour. Yeah, as a police chief.
It's like, how can you do that with no benefits?
I'll tell you how. Part of the reason is because the mayor over there, his name is Sammy Johnson. It's been a while since I've been to Mound City. So if I'm going to look it up right now, because if I'm wrong, I don't want to run my mouth off here and get myself in trouble. So give me just 1 second. You guys talk amongst yourselves for a second.
So this is like a classroom, whenever the teacher has to do something, just talk amongst yourselves.
I'm not a teacher, so I don't know.
So, Allie, what kind of things did you enjoy at the con?
Are we going to go back to this? I like the fan art. I like looking at all the art that was there.
Were there any things that you wanted to purchase?
I mean, I did purchase, well, Shannon bought me some posters.
Yes, I did.
Didn't we decide it was a brawl poster?
Yeah, because it had a snake, and there was no...
And there's a Pokemon trainer, and... Yeah. But it had Kirby. That was the important thing, is that Kirby. And also a dancing Groot picture, so it was Groot, and he was all happy.
Adorable.
And dancing and cute. Because
Kirby
Groot.
Looked angry, though.
Kirby was angry. Sucking, because that's what Kirby does.
Yeesh.
All right.
If you've ever played...
So, I don't know if he's still the mayor, and I need to look it up, but I found a newspaper article from April 21st, 1993, when Sammy Johnson went in as mayor of Mound City. As long as I've been alive to when I moved out a couple years ago from Mound City, he was still the mayor. And in all the time I lived in Mound City, and this might get me in trouble, and I'm probably never heading back to Mound City after this, in all the time that I knew Sammy Johnson to be mayor of Mound City, I never knew him to do a single thing for that town. Other than build up one of the historic homes and then move into it, I never knew him to do anything for Mound City. When I lived in Mound City... And I'm sorry if you guys are listening to this from afar and you have no idea what I'm talking about. This is my hometown, and it's always kind of pissed me off. There was nothing in Mound City. Nothing. We had a tavern. We had one drug shop, Bodie's, and we had a grocery store. And occasionally a little restaurant would pop up here and there, like the Red Onion or the Pizza Oven was one or something like that. Good places. But they only stayed in business for a year or two, and then they went out. That town had nothing, no commerce, no business, and no one did anything about it. It is a dying town now. It was a dying town then, and no one has ever stepped up and taken the spot from Sammy Johnson, and he has done nothing for the community. Nothing. And I want to stress that because it's always made me mad that he did nothing for us. I never saw the man. I never heard him speak. Nothing. He basically barricaded himself in and did what he had to do, and we kept electing him. Somehow, he kept getting reelected. And maybe there's something about politics that I don't know. But
did he win by default?
Possibly. No one may, maybe
yeah,
nobody ran against him. That's the only thing I could figure, because how else do you explain a man that does nothing for a town constantly getting reelected? Is because the people probably didn't even vote.
Well, also, people would rather someone that did nothing than someone who did bad things.
Well, that's true, but I mean, I guess no change is good change.
I at least know he's going to stay the same with this guy. Yeah, I don't know what this guy's going to do. He might ruin everything.
It's hard to ruin something that has nothing. Like, you know, when I was younger, you know what we did in Mound City? We walked the streets because that was all there was to do. There was no park. There were no playgrounds. You could go to, like, Market Square. You could go to the projects, and you could play basketball there, which I did quite often. I hung out with drug dealers all the time.
Charming.
Yeah. It was a great town to live in. And apparently now we have 5 cop cars. And the last time I was in Mound City, when you and I drove through it and I was showing you where I lived, do you remember what it looked like?
Yeah.
What did it look like?
It seemed very bleak and kind of empty.
Yeah. Empty. At least when I was a kid, there was Jay's IGA was the grocery store we had. And then it closed. And you know what moved into that building? Nothing. It has sat empty for 10, 15 years. Because no one wants to move into Mound City. Nobody wants to do anything for that town. That town is dying. And now we don't even have cops over there.
What's the population?
Oh, God, I have to look it up. It's a little over 1,000, if that. It's been a while since I've looked at the sign. Hold on, they actually had a picture of it here. Maybe I can tell you. But it was a small town. It's not like, I mean, it's small. It's smaller than Cairo. And Cairo is also a terrible, terrible town, by the way. Southern Illinois as a whole is just dying. And as someone that comes from there, it really makes me upset to see it that way. But no one changes.
So it's been dying for how many years?
692.
692
years?
No. Mound City, it was established in 1854. It's historic.
Yeah.
Mound City is a historic town. There was an old Civil War hospital that's there. There are so many things. There's so much opportunity in Mound City.
That's the sad part about a lot of things that become historic. They have great stories, but now they're falling apart.
And like, nobody wants to do anything about it.
I talked about the Esquire Theater. Bing Crosby telegrammed the architects to inform them that he was glad that it was being successful, and now it's falling apart.
Cairo in general, if you look at the history of Cairo, Illinois, it could have been a huge port town. There are reasons, you'd have to look it up on Wikipedia because I'll get them wrong, but Cairo could have been a huge port town with its access to the river and the highways.
Yeah.
And instead, if you believe the legends, is that Cairo was cursed because of what happened in the 50s and the 40s and the 60s with the civil war, with the civil rights problems, that black people were being literally hung in the streets and, white businesses left town when they were told that they had to hire black people. And that town has never recovered. It is a cesspool at this point. That back when, what's it called? Bird's Point? The levee, or I forget the exact name of the levee, when they were trying to decide whether or not to flood farmland or flood Cairo and destroy it.
They decided Cairo.
They decided the farmland.
They did?
Yeah.
I thought it was
But
Cairo.
There is a video of, I forget who it is, it's a government official, when they asked him what he was going to do, he just kind of laughed and said, have you ever been to Cairo? Insinuating that Cairo wasn't worth saving.
Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, he's right, because no one has done anything for Cairo, just like they haven't done anything for Mound City. If you think Cape is bad, like if you live in Cape and you go, this town sucks, go where I used to live, and you will see what a really sucky place is.
Cape really is not that bad.
Cape
it's
is amazing.
Really not.
Yeah.
When I moved over here from Mound City, I told you this the other day. All of a sudden, I can order delivery? Are you kidding me? There's shops. There's all-night groceries. There's schools. There's a theater. There's game stores like Gaming Grounds on 709 Broadway for all your gaming needs. We do pre-orders, special orders, and you can host birthday parties there. You know, Mound City had nothing. All we could do in Mound City was walk, talk, and try not to do drugs. I succeeded at all those things. Most of my friends failed at least one of them. I'll let you decide which one it is. Ethan, you want to take a guess?
No.
You're probably better off that way. All right, so that is my rant on Mound City. I cannot believe that the cops have all quit. And I guess the question I want to ask you guys, and I'll start with you, Ethan, is these cops are in protest. Do you think that it is okay for the entire police force to quit in protest and leave that town unpoliced? Do you think they're doing the right thing by standing with one of their own? Or do you think they're doing a disservice to the people by not doing their jobs?
I mean, it's really difficult to say. I'm trying to, like, figure out exactly how to word. How to word. Oh my gosh.
Well, what's your base instinct? Like, what?
Like, I mostly.
Are you outraged by this?
I'm outraged. I'm outraged.
Yes, you are.
I'm outraged at the situation because, like, I can't believe this is, like, this is a problem
yeah.
on, like, both sides. I don't, I'm so on the fence that both sides seem crazy to me.
Yeah. The fact that they would ask this guy to do this and at the same time.
That they would leave.
Yeah.
I mean, part of me is like, how can you just leave all these people unprotected? I mean, sure, it's a dying town, but it's a dying town that still has people in it.
Good people, too. I grew up there. I love the people of Mound City. You know, I still love the people of Mound City. I don't have any family there anymore, and I have a couple friends that still live over there. But, yeah, to completely leave them alone on this, it's just ridiculous. But at the same time, I understand this police chief, the frustration he must feel for not wanting to take this position. When I worked at GameStop, and they were like, hey, we want you to be a temporary manager, because I was ASM. And I said, okay, yeah, that sounds great. That's experience. I got paid maybe $1 more per hour, maybe $1, $1.50. And I had to work an extra, like, this was at Christmas time. So I went from working 40 hours a week to 60 plus some weeks. It was ridiculous. Like, I was so stressed out. I got home. I didn't want to do anything. I used to go to the gym constantly. I would get home after working, you know, a 50 to 60 hour week and just go, no, I'm going to sit right here. And I got nothing for it. I got a couple of extra dollars. So it was nice. And I thought it was building up something with the store. And it didn't, because then they fired me a little bit later for reasons we've gone over. Go listen to the GameStop shows. They're good. They're good shows. So I understand the frustration. Allie, what do you think about this?
I think whenever you go into the career of being a police officer, your main goal is to protect the people. That should be your main goal. Now, I'm sure there are police officers out there that is not their main goal. Pretty positive police officers don't make that much as
no,
it is.
They don't.
So they're obviously not doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Yes, it is outrageous that this is a job where you are supposed to protect people and you're not going to get any benefits whenever there are people that get benefits for less life-threatening jobs.
I think that's the most frustrating part.
Yeah, is that he isn't, and even $13 an hour is pretty low for some, for
it's
that
insulting.
Job. It is.
Yeah.
But I feel like there are ways that you can get your point across while still protecting the people, where you can say, my job is to protect the people, but what you're doing isn't all right.
I feel like you're absolutely right that a job as a police officer is one of those jobs that you take knowing that you're doing this for other people. You don't become a police officer. We hadn't, you know, I'm going to throw out a name here for our fans. Mr. Blue has been on the show a couple times, and he is a police officer. He goes by a fake name, obviously, to protect his identity. You all know who he is. But he's been on it, and he has such a passion for people when he talks about, you know, being a police officer. And I feel like that's a big part of being a cop. My dad was chief of police of Mound City, years before I was born. Hell, I don't even know. So I've always kind of felt a connection with the police department, especially in Mound City. And I don't think they were right to walk off, but there is a solidarity between police officers that you cross one, you cross us all. It's that blue wall, that blue shield that Mr. Blue talked about.
Because they have to work well together.
Yeah. So I could see why they walked off, but I agree that I think it's kind of shitty.
Do you think like there could be another alternate solution?
To them walking off?
Yeah. Like, do you think?
Well, I think one, giving the guy benefits. Like, if you're going to ask a guy to be a full-time cop, a job where you put your life on the line and he doesn't have benefits, that's ridiculous.
A few more dollars an hour would be pretty good, too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, don't even get me started.
Make the job more appealing.
I said this once on a show, and I forget who was on that show, but they kind of tore me apart. I said that I was personally sickened by the fact that a stripper or a porn star or a celebrity can make untold amounts of money for that. But our teachers and our police officers, our firemen, the people that keep us safe, protect us, and raise our children and teach them, you know, the next generation of how to run this world, that they get paid next to nothing. They get treated so poorly. But there's a person that could go and take their clothes off six times a week that makes way more than the people that are running our country.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And I got torn apart for that because someone said, hey, don't be hating. If you can do it, do it. Who are we to judge? Blah, blah, blah. If people want to pay for it, that's their business. And sure, it is.
Yeah.
But it's still,
okay,
it depresses.
So they're able to, but why can't we pay our teachers more?
Why can't we?
Why? It does kinda... Because someone would say they're paid by the government. We would have to raise your taxes. It's like, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia whenever they go to
the Mendel Institute.
Yeah, the Mendel Institute. And he's like, they're closing all these down. And Dee's like, yeah, they're going to close down more unless we raise taxes. I'm not paying any more in taxes. That's crazy. No,
that's
I'm
crazy.
Gonna do it.
No.
Then it looks like they're going to have to close more of these down. No, they can't do that. They can't just let these people out on the streets. Then you're going to have to pay more taxes. No, I refuse.
It's a catch-22. People don't want to pay for it, but they also don't want... You know, they want it, but they don't want to pay for it.
It sounds just like complaining either way to me personally.
But like, it goes to the same line of if we have money for war, why can't we feed the homeless? If we can shell out $40 million to Tom Cruise to make a new movie, then why do we have so many homeless people on the streets? If you have the money to do this, then if we have so much money, if there are so many rich people in this country that are sitting on millions upon millions of dollars and they're just making more and more money, why aren't they helping the less fortunate? Because it's their money. They earned it, right? Of course it is. But if you're a human being, you want to help people. And a lot of these people don't. I don't know. It's a whole rant. We don't have time to get into this. And eventually I'm going to stop being articulate and I'm just going to start screaming and I'm going to start cussing because I lose my cool very easily.
Arguments about what you should do with money and how you should spend money is affecting everything. I don't know how many times I've had a conversation in one of my classes about how do you think the college should spend their money? Because they're spending money on working on fountains or doing more advertising, but there is dial-up internet on part of our campus.
And boy, how many of you kids out there don't even know what dial-up internet is?
Like,
Ethan?
I grew up with that.
As did I.
How people use their money, some people are going to think, well, if we... Like, for school as an example, because that's one of the better examples I can give. If we boost our advertising, then we can get more students in, and then we can pay for the internet. Whenever I'm thinking, why don't you pay for the internet, make the students, whenever you have potential students coming in, talk about, we have internet that works fantastically.
So you're just saying...
Use the students who are going to the school to advertise for it.
Yeah.
Whenever other students are visiting the school. Don't spend the money on billboards or extra TVs for stadiums whenever you can use it on making your education better.
But people want to go to the games.
That's
See, Red Hawks.
Football games are real great for my art education.
I'm going to let you in on a little secret. They don't give a shit about your art education.
Actually, SEMA gives a little bit more of a shit about art education than other educations considering they have their own campus for the arts.
That's true. It's true. But do you think it's more important than the Red Hawks football?
I think there was actually someone complaining about whenever we got the new president. They're like, maybe he'll focus more on the football instead of the arts. And the argument is football and all that is great, but a lot of it should be funded differently. Because can be funded through other ways than stuff like art programs and teaching programs. That can be used from the actual school budget.
Well, clearly, but anytime you have a college that has a team, especially one that's relatively successful like the Red Hawks, it's going to be I said relatively. But, you know, I was in a couple of clothing stores today, and I kept looking for the River Campus jerseys and the River Campus hoodies. I couldn't find any.
You have to actually get those at the school.
It was a joke. I was saying that it's, you know, football. So you know what made a lot of money?
What?
This is what we do on Sunday Random Sunday is we go from one subject to the next and we try to get a good segue.
Yeah.
And we ain't talking about those things people ride.
All those segues have been like broken.
Well, didn't you kind of just ruin your segue by explaining
it was
a segue?
No, it's like jokes.
It's like jokes. If they don't laugh, just keep explaining it.
You
just
have
make
to explain the joke before people get it.
If they walk away, follow them and keep explaining it. Be like, do you understand?
Keep
do you get it?
The joke.
Do you get it? Do you get it?
No, see, it's funny because of this, and it's actually kind of funny to me that you're not getting it because...
Okay, so what is your segment?
What's your topic?
The Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book?
The Jungle Book opened up this weekend.
It did?
It did 103 million, almost 104 million. It's the third biggest opening of the year, I believe. And I don't know why. I mean, I guess I get it. It's a big CGI adaptation.
It's also a big story that a bunch of people grew up with, and now they're redoing it. And a bunch of those people that grew up with it have kids, and
let me tell you the problem with this. Disney already did the Jungle Book.
Uh-huh.
They had that song in it.
Uh-huh.
With that Baloo sang.
Yeah.
The Bare Necessities.
Uh-huh.
That's it. That's all you need. And if you thought, well, maybe we need a little bit more from the Jungle Book, they then took the Jungle Book and turned it into Tailspin.
I like Tailspin.
Jungle Book is gone. It doesn't need to be done ever again. Especially by this giant bloated CG fest. Like every other movie that comes out nowadays.
So, I mean, did you know that new ideas aren't a thing?
No, new ideas are a thing, just nobody cares about them.
No,
bet you haven't heard that.
If you think something's a new idea, it's just a revised old idea.
Yeah, but most new ideas that are revised old ideas aren't just the exact same thing with the same name.
Yeah, but with movies and stuff, names sell. It's about making money.
Again, though, I just want to point out, this isn't like this is a new story and it just happens to be called The Jungle Book and they have elements of the old one. This is The Jungle Book, Rudyard Kipling. This is his story, and they've just remade it again, this time with a gigantic budget and CGI animals.
Yeah, because that way they can sell it as live action, and some people prefer live action better.
Of course it'll sell.
I mean, I'll be honest, I've seen the trailers.
Obviously it sold.
Yeah. 106
million, 103 million.
It's made it past its budget, right?
Oh, I don't know. Like, with movies like this,
probably.
I mean, they're so pricey to make, plus marketing and stuff like that. Like, you have to make quite a bit to make your money back on it.
I mean, like, I've had no real connection with the Jungle Book. I mean, I really like Tailspin. I kind of got annoyed with the Bare Necessities because when I was a kid, they would always, like, pitch that song with the eating triangle.
So,
like,
Ethan, you were sick of the Bare Necessities.
I just didn't. It was more apathetic, but when I seen the trailers for it, I was mostly just kind of confused. I kind of understood why they wanted to, you know, redo the Jungle Book in CG, give it a bigger budget and whatnot. But all of the trailers that I seen was just the main kid running.
Well, yeah, that's what they want you to see. They want you to see that kid.
I mean, like,
he's half naked.
I mean, sure, but the kid was just running. I mean, I got very little context.
Well, I think that's because they assume you already know what the Jungle Book is. Like, they're assuming you know what the Jungle Book is.
They're assuming the people that are actually watching the trailers and are going to be the ones paying to take people to it know what it is. They're assuming it's going to be parents taking their children.
Well, you know what you do when you assume?
Make money.
You make an ass out of you and me.
They're making money.
Yeah, because, I mean, they weren't going to adapt any of... what else are they going to adapt by Rudyard Kipling? Were they going to do The White Man's Burden? I'd like to see that movie.
Especially nowadays.
They could do Rikki Tikki Tavi. Remember Rikki Tikki Tavi?
No. Maybe if I saw it.
I remember hearing the name.
I remember as a kid being forced to watch it in school. And I just remember the name Rikki Tikki Tavi. I think
I watched in school?
Huh.
Bill Nye the Science Guy.
I'll say what you probably watched
personally.
You probably watched Zoe of the Future or
Zoe of the Future.
Or Zoe 101. I don't know what it was called.
Allie.
You probably watched it.
Allie, personally, I prefer Nick Cage the Science Mage myself. But
what? What? Like, what school did you go to that couldn't get Bill Nye the Science Guy?
But we got
and got whoever that was.
We got Nick Cage.
Wait, are you
the Science Mage?
Whoever that guy is, Nicolas Cage, the greatest actor of the 20th century. Also, it's cute, Bill Nye the Science Guy. I grew up on Beekman's World, so there you go.
I just grew up on, I don't even remember. It was so generic. It didn't have a host. It was just narrated.
Was it
was just a blank screen with a voice.
Yeah, blank screen with a voice.
Well, now you got people like that. Neil deGrasse Tyson thinks he's so smart. He ain't smart. If he's so smart, why can't he prove Nessie exists?
Why can't he explain why cats purr?
Why can't, you know, fucking magnets, how do they work? Nobody knows. Blankets, how do they keep you warm?
Quilts!
Yeah! Full circle. That's what we do on this show. Also in that box office top 10, Barbershop The Next Cut was number 2 with 20 million.
What is that?
Do you not know Barbershop? I mean, I've never watched them, but even I know, I mean, it's Ice Cube.
Is it about?
It's about a black barbershop.
Okay, yeah.
And they keep making them, just like they kept making those stupid ass step up movies. I mean, I was going to get away from the racist stuff, but thank you, Ali, for going back to it.
They have made so many Medea movies.
It's fine, Hitler. He's like, oh my. And then the boss, and then there was a tie for fifth between Zootopia and Batman. Batman's made $311.
I want to see Zootopia.
$311 million, I'm sorry, which I think is going to be far shorter than they thought it was going
to
be.
They made a statement about how much they had to make for them to actually make money off of it.
And I'm assuming it's a lot.
I don't remember what it is, but yeah, it was a lot.
Now, on the other hand, at number 9 was God's Not Dead 2, which made another 1.7 million.
One of those?
It's up to 17 million, which for a movie like that is huge.
I seen the first one and I thought it was good. Like, I personally liked it.
I liked it because it had Kevin Sorbo in it.
The professor?
Yeah, he was Hercules.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dean Cain, I think, was
Hercules,
in it.
Hercules.
It's like a reuniting of sci-fi asylum film actors.
That's one thing everybody wants.
Asylum actors?
Yeah.
I disagree. Got another story here for you, Ethan.
All right.
All right, this one is... No, you're out of it now.
Oh.
Because you didn't know who Nick Cage was.
I know who Nick Cage is.
Name one movie he's been in.
The Croods.
The Croods. That's the movie you pick.
Not Ghost Rider 2?
Because it's one of the actual, like, good movies he's been in. Because it's one that most people don't realize he was a voice actor for. And they're like, wait.
All right,
the Croods?
Name a live action movie he was in.
That
isn't Ghost Rider.
National Treasure.
That's also true.
It's true.
I'm not incorrect.
All right, name another one.
It's probably fine.
National Treasure 2.
No. Come on, Leaving Las Vegas? Con Air? The Rock?
Dwayne?
Doom? What? Doom? Oh, the Doom Baby was
good. What's your story?
I don't know anymore.
I'm on the edge of my seat. What's your story?
Well, that's our show for tonight, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
That's your story?
No. So, I'm not going to pronounce this name right, but
just try your best.
If you want to know just how racist we can get here in the United States,
here we go.
There's a guy
who
was removed from a Southwest airline flight. His name is Khair Uldin Makhzoomi. I'm assuming that is how you pronounce his name. I've probably horribly mispronounced that. And if I did,
we apologize.
Yeah,
apologize in advance,
dude. If you're listening to the show, my bad.
Oops.
But apparently, he was on a flight on Southwest. He called his uncle. Let's see. I'm going to find out. He called his uncle in Baghdad when he got on the plane. And he was talking to him in, Arabic. And he finished off, he said, God willing, which is like, inshallah, inshallah. And he hung up. They then had the police escort him off because of, quote unquote, report of potentially threatening comments. Just because he was speaking.
In Arabic.
Yeah. Because heard him say, okay. Ugh.
And then they let him go.
My brain. Well, at least they let him go. Thank God for that.
How long did they hold him?
Well, Southwest declined to provide... this is from CNN, by the way. Southwest declined to provide details about the incident, but said in a written statement that the airline doesn't tolerate discrimination. Clearly.
Obviously.
Quote, unquote, prior to the departure of Flight 4620, our crew made the decision to investigate a report of potentially threatening comments overheard on board our aircraft. A group of our employees, including the flight crew, made the decision to review the situation. We understand local law enforcement also spoke with that passenger as the aircraft departed the gate. To respect the privacy of those involved, we will not publicly share any further specifics of the event. We prefer to communicate directly with our customers to address concerns and feedback regarding the travel experience. So what they're saying is, we messed up and we don't want to admit it in public.
Yeah.
He said, all I want is an apology. And so far, he has not gotten it. I don't like air flight security and stuff like that. When the first time I flew to Pennsylvania, this is a true story. I flew to Pennsylvania to see Lindsay back when she lived in Pennsylvania. And when I got off the plane at the airport in, I think, Venango is the name of the city. Maybe that's the county. I don't know. It was Franklin. Franklin, Pennsylvania, I think it was. But I got off the aircraft and as we're going out, there's an old couple in front of me and then there's like two other people and then me. Well, security is watching. He lets him go. Then immediately pulls me aside and searches me for no reason at all.
You got off the plane?
it was when I got off the plane, as I was getting off and going into, you know, to leave, they searched me for some reason. I don't know why. I don't know why.
I guess there's...
Do they... I don't know if they have to say why.
They didn't. He just asked, can you step over here? He did the metal detector. He patted me down and all that, and then he let me go. But he didn't do that to a single other person from that flight. Now, clearly, I'm not of Arabic descent, but I still felt like I was being profiled. Because obviously I look different. If you've ever seen Shannon Young, Mr. 100, in person, you know he looks a little different than everybody else. He's a little taller. He's a little wider. His arms are a little bigger.
A little more magnificent.
His neck's a little thicker. His hair's a little longer.
You know, once I got randomly selected.
On an airport?
Mm-hmm.
Well, was it a man or a woman?
You know how they randomly select people? It dings. Whenever you go through the metal, to like
nothing dinged for me.
Well,
this guy
yeah, because you were
aside.
Doing. But now, whenever you're going through security, random selection, you can actually like there's something that goes on the screen that's like this is number whatever.
It's funny.
Or this is the one.
A lot of those random selections end up being Muslim passengers. Isn't
well, that's
that odd?
The random selections you hear about.
Yeah, well, obviously, because I mean that is, are you saying that's not a problem?
I don't know enough about that because I could see someone getting randomly selected and then they're complaining and the only random selections you hear about are the complaints. I was randomly selected. I'm not of any.
I complained.
Well, yeah,
yours
is a
now.
Little bit more.
I'm complaining now online.
Yours is a little more, okay, why did you... I just got off the plane. I obviously was allowed on the plane.
Well, that's because this airport was tiny, and I'm pretty sure that these people – the guy was probably just looking for excitement. He was hoping, just hoping against hope that he could get me for something, just to have something to do. Because what happens in Franklin, Pennsylvania? Nothing.
I mean, like –
You just watch paint dry.
I like to think
– Suck it, Pennsylvania. Also, if
no.
anybody from Pennsylvania is listening to us, I apologize.
Someone
there
from
goes
Pennsylvania.
Or who
was born in Pennsylvania
Shannon.
Is on the show.
I love Pennsylvania, for the record. They have great pizza there. There's this place called The Villa. And amazing. Double baked pizza, I think it is. It's incredible.
Never heard of
I just remember, great. Like, it is kind of jarring how airport security works. Because I remember when I went to Ireland...
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Because you talk about how you're Irish all the time.
And I mean, do you want jealousy? You got it. I hope you're happy. Now go on with your story.
Good. But, I'm kidding. I love you, buddy.
I love you too.
It is just really interesting because you've all been on an airport. You know how it goes down. When I got off the plane in Ireland, there was just a guy sitting behind a desk with some glass in front of him. He's like, so, what are you here for? I was like, I'm here for vacation. He's like, all right, have a good time. And there we go. We were off the plane. It was just like, whoa.
Yeah, that's not how my experience went in Franklin, Pennsylvania. You step over here, sir. All right, you're good.
All right, have a good time.
I wish I would have asked him, why'd you pull me aside? Like, why? Is it because the way I look?
You could have assured him that, like, you wouldn't be mad.
Yeah, don't worry, man. I'm not going to hit you. I'm not upset about it. Why'd you pull me off, dude? I got somewhere to be. You know who I am? I could have your license pulled here. I could have this entire
Years
airport
from now,
shut
I will own
down.
A podcast.
Years from now, I will complain about you on the internet to, like, 20 people. And those 20 people are going to know everything you did, buddy. Except I don't remember his name.
But they're not going to know your name.
I barely remember the city.
Or what he looks like.
He was white. They always are. We're terrible people.
Yeah.
You especially.
What?
You especially.
What?
I'm surprised you didn't point at me.
No, you're fine.
Okay.
You alive.
Why? Oh, so you don't like me.
Don't take her side. That's all I got.
Okay.
Yeah. Ethan, you have anything to add to the conversation?
There's a family feud going on here.
That's true. This is the family of the Podzilla 1985 family?
This is the family of
we're
the family.
We're the family family.
We're the advocate of the advocate.
We're the family of the family. So I guess let's talk a little bit real quick. We've got about 5 minutes left on the show. Let's talk about what's happening with the show. As I said last week, Tanner is down for the count for the foreseeable future, or unforeseeable future, I guess you would say. He had a tragedy in his family. He's dealing with it. He's not going to be on as much. I thought that the Saturday sports show was going to be his last show, and then I don't know where it is. I'm just going to be completely honest
it's
with you.
It's literally the lost episode.
It's a lost episode, because as far as I know, it exists, but I don't know where it is or how to upload it.
It's like a myth or so, a scavenger hunt.
If you think that we skipped out on you this week, I don't think we did. I think Cody and Tanner did record a show, and legends say that if I look in a mirror and say Cody Sandducky 15 times with one candle,
the flash drive will appear.
If I have a candle and I put it in a bucket, I say Cody Sandducky 15 times, a chicken will appear, and in its beak will be the fabled flash drive with the show. So we'll try to find that show and post it. It's going to be a couple days late, but at least you'll get one last Tanner show before he's gone for what could be weeks, months. We don't know. I will very much miss Tanner, because this show, Podzilla 1985 as a whole, started off very much as an excuse for me and Tanner to talk about the paranormal. And even though we never really got to do that as much as we had hoped, because if you know the nature of the beast, you know you have to put out what people want to listen to, and not a lot of people at the time wanted to listen to me and Tanner talk about ghosts. It's gotten better since then, and I'm just a little sad that we had this great new format for Tanner Thursday, and I'm not going to get to try it out, because I don't want to do it without him.
Of course.
Tanner Thursday belongs to me and Tanner. He's the man himself, and you can't do anything without the man himself. So what are we going to do on Thursdays? We've been kind of toying with the idea of doing this show on Thursday, maybe doing Topical Thursday. I don't know. We try to think of names for things, because it's better that way. Because
Cheesy Cells.
What?
Cheesy Cells. Whenever you...
Yeah.
Make cheesy things that sells.
That's how you get women to do what you want, is you just tell them what they want to hear.
No.
Yes.
No.
Ethan, you and I really need to talk sometime.
We do.
Yeah, well, we need to talk more.
That's true.
Alone.
Oh my.
But I don't know. I don't know.
13 and up content, ladies and gentlemen.
13? Are we in Japan?
We're gonna listen. Goodness. We got some listeners in Japan.
We're going to listen to some baby metal after this.
I enjoy baby metal.
I also enjoy baby metal. But what are we doing with the show while Tanner's gone? We don't know. We'll keep you updated on it. But this Thursday, we'll have something. I actually talked to Jesse Kimmel tonight about doing a show about internet celebrity and YouTube stuff. And I'm going to try to get Mike Branham on the show. And I think Dalton volunteered himself, as always.
Can I also be volunteered?
My God, so many of you. Well, you know, maybe. I could probably have you and Mike on at the same time, because you two do a show together. You, Mike, and Stephen Bright, who is also a part of the Podzilla 1985 family.
Yeah.
We need to adopt Mike into the group. You know?
I'm sure he'd be down for it.
He, I'm sure he would too, because he used to have to work with Krista.
Yeah.
Yeah. Less said about that, the better.
I miss Krista.
Oh, that makes one of you. Anyway, no, I miss Krista too. She was very pretty. Very pretty. Cutest sneeze in the world.
I heard she hated that.
She did. That's why we did it. Yeah. So Krista, if you're listening, because I know you do sometimes, we miss you. Also, Billy, we miss you. God, I miss Billy.
Which reminds me, we were like kicking around shirt ideas.
We were.
And one of the ideas was just a shirt that said, "Sorry, Billy."
Yeah, sorry, Billy. I think that would be a great seller.
Think so, too.
Yeah.
Personally, I think like you have "I don't get it" in the front of the shirt, and then in the back it says "Doink."
Yeah, but then we would have to admit that that Zach Price is a major part of it. And Zach hasn't been on the show for months.
Well, it would also mean that something came out of Zach that was good.
And we don't want that, apparently, I guess?
No. Awkward reunions are awkward, like today at Comic-Con.
You look disgusted already.
I'm not disgusted. It was just awkward. I ran into an old friend who's no longer a friend, and it went about as peaceful as it could have. And there was a part of me that wanted to go up and say hi to him, and there was also a part of me that realized if I did that, it would open up a whole other Pandora's box that I didn't want to open up, because I'm not ready to open that box yet. So, so we'll hold off on the Zach Price shirts, but the "Sorry, Billy," I'm a big fan of.
Yeah.
And I hope you're a fan of Sunday Random Sunday. It was a lot of fun to do. We'll probably do another one next Sunday. The problem is we have to record this after Nerd Up.
Yeah.
Or before Nerd Up. But recording two shows on one day is just difficult. you know, it's just difficult. But we'll see what'll happen. We hope you guys enjoyed listening, and we're gonna cut it off here. Ethan and Allie, thank you for being on the show. Ethan, it's always Allie, you're on every week. Ethan, it's always good to have you on.
I'm surprised I'm on as soon as I was. I mean, I was expecting to be gone for like another 3 months and just in the background.
Because you were just on Thursday, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you did Thursday and now Sunday. That's two shows.
In 1 week.
Your stock is rising.
Oh my gosh.
While other stocks fall.
What stock?
CJ.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh. He doesn't listen. It's fine.
No,
anyway,
he doesn't.
Thank you guys for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll see you back on Monday with Nerd Up with Jesse and the gang. And then Tuesday for Mr. 100 and the Five Star Man. Wednesday for Pro Wrestling Unscripted. Thursday for something. And then we don't know about the sports show, but I think Cody's going to find someone to talk with. We'll keep you updated. Cody, call me. Let's figure things out. Have a good night, everybody. Ethan, take us out.
Bum, bum, bum.
That was so stupid.